Going to the beach today is a privilege. It's a celebration. But although it's a celebration and it's fun and it's something we ought to rejoice in, we have to understand at the same time it is an intrusion. We are going to a place that God created to demonstrate something that God has done in the middle of a world that is fighting on the other side. This is an aggressive act. This is an in-your-face. When we go, we hit that beach. We have to understand that there are others who have tried to take that territory and pervert its purpose. You and I go there to do something very important. I want to talk about the things that are true about this, because if we don't understand what's true, then we'll miss what's taking place. So I want to talk about three truths that relate to what we're going to be sharing this afternoon. Would you pray with me for a minute? Father, we come before you. And Lord, it is great to sing your praises, to rejoice in you, and Lord, to sometimes just let go and relax. And Father, we know that you are the one who provides the peace, and that we cannot manufacture it ourselves. Lord, speak to us today. We ask that you would come and that you would speak in our hearts. Lord, I confess that I'm a broken vessel and that I come before you imperfect, but desiring for you to teach and speak. And Lord, whatever power there is in our gathering today, it is in you, both now and when we are on the beach. May you be glorified, and I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. In Matthew 18, verses 18 through 20, 28, sorry, 28, 18 through 20, that passage that we call the Great Commission, it's at the end of Matthew's Gospel where Jesus is about to move and leave, and he's going to leave his disciples, and there will be nothing left of him for that time. He tells them something very important. Says that he came to them saying, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you, and surely I will be with you always to the very end of the age." The main thing that he says there that he is telling us that we are to be about is to make disciples. Make disciples of Jesus. He doesn't tell us to make church members. He doesn't tell us to make moral people. He tells us to make disciples of Jesus, which in our day and time seems to be rather complicated, because there are so many other competing things that are trying to say this is what it's about. But it's really not complicated. It's really simple. It's a matter of believing Jesus is who he says he was, believing he was dead, buried, and resurrected on the third day. That's it. He's the Son of God. He proved it. Everything he said is true. Let's follow him. Let's let him live in us. Pretty simple. He said that one of the important things about this was to make people who do this. And he said one of the ways we do that is by baptizing. Baptizing is a part of revealing what God has done in us. We're going to talk about that today. So he says we ought to do that. And then he said after you baptize them, or in sync with when you baptize, is this teaching thing about how to do everything that Jesus said to do. So I want to talk to you about the three things that are really important, three truths about what we do. Number one, baptism is a testimony, not a ritual. Listen to these passages as you think about that. Baptism is a testimony, not a ritual. We're going to look at Acts 19, 1 through 4 first. While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. And there he found some disciples. And he asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they answered, "No, we've not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." So Paul asked, "Then what baptism did you receive?" And they said, "John's baptism." Paul said, "John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, and that is Jesus. And on hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied." Just for a second, pay attention to what was happening here. There was a confusion of two baptisms, right? John's baptism and then the other one that is described here. John's baptism was a ritual baptism that reflected a desire for an inward change. So John was in the river, Jordan, Jericho, okay? And he was baptizing people who wanted to demonstrate this desire for repentance. So when they did that, that's what they did. The baptism was representative of their desire to change and be new, be different. That baptism is different from the one that Paul was preaching. What was different about it? Had there been any inward change by the power of the Holy Spirit in the people who had John's baptism? There was none. It was a great desire, but it was not being baptized into Christ. Nothing had happened in these people's lives. The Spirit had not come. So when Paul preached the baptism that he was preaching, he was talking about the fact that a person had an experience that they could only claim came from belief in Jesus. The fact that he was dead, buried, resurrected on the third day. And when they believed that, and they confessed that, then it was their testimony. Does that make sense? And that the baptism was a testimonial. It was not some ritual. Let's go to the next passage. Galatians 3, 26 and 27. Again, baptism is a testimony, not a ritual. "So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith." Through what? Faith. "For all of you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourselves with Christ." Now look at the order is important. Belief and baptism. Faith and baptism. That's what Paul was preaching, and that was what we're going to be doing. That will be what we're going to be doing on the beach this afternoon. Baptism is a witness that has to what has taken place inside of us. It's a declaration of faith. There is nothing that we can see that says that baptism is some ritual that changes a person. So by being baptized, a person does not change. Their thoughts don't change. Their mind doesn't change. It's a matter of what's taken place inside the person, and baptism is a testimony to what Christ has done. Very important. Second thing. Truth two. Baptism is symbolic. It is not magical. This is very close to what I just said, but it's a little different. Let's keep going. 1 Peter 3, 20 through 22. Peter wrote, "In it only a few people, eight in all," he's talking about the flood, "were saved through water. And this water symbolizes," he's saying that experience in the past, "symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but a pledge of a clear conscience towards God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to Him." It's all about belief in Jesus. It's symbolic. It's not magical. Romans 6, 3 and 4. "Or do you not know that all of us who were baptized into Jesus Christ," Christ Jesus, "were baptized into His death. We were therefore buried with Him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." Whenever we do the baptism, this afternoon on the beach. When a person goes underwater, that's symbolic. We know that Jesus died. He was alive. He died a real death. So when we go under the water, we are giving testimony to that, and we are symbolically identifying with that. He did, we are. When we come out of the water, we're saying Jesus rose on the third day. And just like He did, He has said that He will give us a new life. He changes us now, and He gives us an eternal life with a resurrected body that we cannot even comprehend at this point. We have no idea what that's going to be like. But we know we'll be recognizable. This baptism represents that association with Jesus. It does not obligate God to do something. The truth is, when we are baptized, what we are saying is the thing that God is going to do in us and to us has already happened. And now, what we are saying is we are identifying that He has done this in our lives. There's nothing magical. If it were, then all I would have to do is say the perfect three words and everything would change in my life. Anybody tried that? Does that happen? Nope. And it's the same with baptism. Just getting under the water and coming back up doesn't make anybody any different. Because it's symbolic of what God has already done in us. It's not about a magical act. Truth three. Belief and faith saves. Obedience follows. Now, a lot of times, people that you and I know get this all backwards. They think that life is all about trying to make God happy, please God, and if we do enough good, we'll be just good enough to be okay. That's getting obedience before faith, and that doesn't work. Baptism shows us that. Belief and faith saves, obedience follows. Let's look at Mark 16, 15, 16. This is Mark's account of what happened when Jesus gave the Great Commission to His disciples. Here Mark says, John Mark says, He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." Belief comes before baptism. Simple, right? So when we do the things that we do this evening, when we gather, it's a testimony, it's symbolic, and it's out of obedience, but it's because of what has already taken place. It's not something that can earn God's favor. It doesn't make, in quote, God love us anymore because we're baptized. Just like it doesn't make God love us anymore whenever we tithe, or God love us anymore when we serve, or love us anymore when we fill in the blank. He just loves us. What baptism does is it gives us an opportunity. It gives us the opportunity to tell the story. It gives us an opportunity to say that we are a part of this story. Let's look at Acts chapter 2, verses 40 through 41. One of our favorite passages. We talk about it a great deal. With many other words, He warned them, talking about Peter, and He pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." It was bad then, just like it's bad now. Lots of stuff to tempt. Lots of stuff to infect. And it says, those who accepted His message were baptized. And about 3,000 were added to their number that day. What happened first? They believed. After they believed, what happened? They were baptized. You get the pattern. You see the truth. It's very important. If you also looked in Acts chapter 8, you see that whenever Philip was preaching, that again, people believed in Jesus. And they were baptized. Look in Acts 18. Look in that story. Crispus, Corinthians, Act 18. He believed and his family was baptized because they believed. Belief first. Holy Spirit works. People are baptized. It's consistent. Our obedience does not win God's favor or blessing. It doesn't work that way. It does, though, fulfill our purpose in God's plan. And it does make our lives better because we have identified with Jesus. How? What does it fulfill our purpose in God's plan? how does going to the beach, or if we filled up the water up here, and then baptizing somebody who says that they have been changed by the power of God, how does that change anything? We have to answer that question. And we need to have an answer to that question before we go to the beach today. Because we've got to go ready to go. Because we're about to engage a world that's on fire. Are you ready to go to the beach? I hope you go to the beach. Let's pray. Father God, it's funny how you've told us to do certain things. And sometimes, Lord, we get them all mixed up. Lord, we think that the things themselves have some kind of magical power, and they don't. Lord, you have the power. And our faith and our trust are to be in you. And the truth is, we ought to be saying, blessed be the name of the Lord when things are good, and blessed be the name of the Lord when things stink. Because you're God. And I was created. So Lord, when we come before you today and we acknowledge who you are and what you've done in a person's life, Lord, let us understand and see the truth about what we're declaring and understand the confrontation that we're a part of. Lord, give us peace in the middle of it. Give us joy in the middle of it, because you are the God who revealed Himself through His Son, who has called us to eternity. Let us declare eternity on Tybee Island today as we meet this morning. Before we get to Tybee Island, if this is the day where you need to acknowledge that you have a belief in who Jesus was, what He did, the fact that He was sinless, He was the Son of the living God, that He was wrongly killed because He allowed Himself to be sacrificed on a cross to die for your sins and my sins, and that He was really dead. He was dead for 3 days. And then on that third day, He took up His life again, and now He is gone to be with the Father. And every time you and I pray, He is there beside the Father, interceding for us. If that is you, and you have not let someone know that, that's what this baptism is all about. And if this is your day to make that known, I encourage you to talk to Dusty Dane or I. There's no better day. If this is what God is moving in your heart about, talk to one of us, and if not, put it on your card. We'll look at the cards. But let us know. We need to take steps. We need to encourage you to give us that opportunity. This is the day of salvation. The altar's open. Dusty, Dane, and I will be up front. Need to pray? We'd love to pray with you about whatever's troubling you, about whatever you need to intercede for others about. This is not a ritual. This is about talking to Dad. And Dad's ready. He wants to help.
I'm sure we've made you all wonder what we're doing up here, but I just felt very called. I wrote on my card that I was praying for our pastors, and I just felt God saying, and I sat and prayed for them just now in the pew, but I just felt very strongly that He said we need to pray for all of them today, right now, with everyone. So that's what we're doing. And I just wanted y'all to be a part of it. And I know sometimes we do come up. If you feel led to do that, if not, you can stay where you are. But just wanted to lift them up. So, dear Heavenly Father, we hear your voice in our hearts. We hear you telling us to notice the things around us. And I felt like today you said to notice these three pastors that lead us, that are up here, that are working so hard all the time. They're behind the scenes doing things we don't always know about. They're visiting. They're praying. They're loving us. God, I ask you to be with each one of them in their daily lives, their daily walk, to protect them with your mightiest angels. Lord, to give them strength and health, keep their families well. Lord, give them clear vision Help them to notice the world, your world that's around them and the people that are around. Lord, we just thank you so much for all they do for us and for your kingdom and for the city of Savannah. And Lord, I just pray for them today at this beach baptism that we know that there will be people walking the beach that will notice what we do. And Lord, they teach us what to say, what to do. They give us the answers. They help us to think, to look into your word. And I ask that you bless them for that. You help us to make a statement today for your kingdom. Lord, we just thank you so much for them, for their families, and all they do. And help us to be obedient when you call us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You have your marching orders. Amen. We're dismissed.